You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. David, we're not going to moan about Trump's attempted market manipulation by saying that China is going to have these tariffs on them because of rare earths, and then suddenly he's the hero when there's a deal. We won't do that until later. Oh, now I've done it. We may as well do it. Why does he do that?
He
wants to pretend to be the hero, fixing something that he broke, which is so irritating.
You know, I think if we go back the whole year, it's been Trump on, Trump off, Trump on, Trump off. It's been so difficult to read. And, the latest story, the 100% tariffs on China's withholding rare earths and magnets, now that's reversed. That's not going to happen. Mm. You don't know from one day to the next, even though he's flying around and he's big, beautiful plane and stopping off in China and I think where's he in Malaysia at the moment? He's going off to Japan. He's even going to probably meet Kim again, in North Korea. So he loves it. This is what he enjoys. He enjoys people loving him or coming to see him or being forced to see him. So this is Trump at his best. But from a market point of view, I think the fact that he is trying to make peace with Xi and China, and hopefully they've got some kind of framework for a deal. I think markets are getting a little excited today. But where does it go next week? I have no idea. We still got lockdown. We still got lockdown in the United States. There's no further negotiation there. I don't know what's happened. I don't know the latest news. So, we've negotiated this whole year. The fact that we're up where we are at the moment is quite remarkable against the news and the on and offs of Mr. Trump throughout the last 10 months. Today is one of those positive days.
Yes, it is. It's also if you were just a person that looked at graphs and you didn't turn on the news and you looked at the graphs of various securities, various asset classes of 2025, you would say, goodness me, it's been a fantastic year. It just keeps on going up. There was that one very brief 3-day blip in April, but you would say, well, that's perfectly normal. That's what happened. And that's what it is, David. Take away Trump, take away the news, take away the noise, take away the emotion, which I get caught up with, then it's just been a fantastic year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Is it justified? You can't look at markets from that point of view. Money, there seems to be or appears to be a lot of liquidity that is finding its way into money. And I have no doubt with gold coming under a bit of pressure that money will now shift back into the market. I'm not sure it's going to go into Bitcoin or something like that, but it finds a place. And the stories, there's still quite a few stories that are abounding. AI is not over. More and more money is being spent in it. I'm looking at air travel. Money's being spent in air travel. Money's being spent all over the place. So businesses are not being put off by Mr. Trump, by his tariffs, by the by lockdown, by any or shutdown, by any of those issues. And I think businessmen, I think they're exhausted and they just get on with, let's sit behind the desk and run our businesses. I don't know. I can't explain it in any other way. But I think to have gone through this year and to have, followed the headlines, it's been exhausting. And that we are where we are, I just kind of lift my eyebrows and say, okay, I'll take it.
Thank you very much.
It's
almost as though, from what you've just said, it's almost as though you feel as though when you speak to your clients, you've got to justify their portfolios doing well, even though you can't really. I suppose you can say, well, people like Trump and people like the fact that he's going to be a force on the US Federal Reserve. And maybe Bessent goes in as the Fed chair, and that means interest rates are going to be kept at reasonable levels in his eyes for the rest of his tenure. I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just cheap money, David.
It could be. because I don't think anybody knows. Bessent did they did announce the five candidates for Fed chair.
Oh, yes.
I don't think there's any surprise in any of them. But, Lindsay, to be fair, I don't think anybody has got a grasp of the U.S. economy. I don't think there's anybody that's got a grasp of tariffs, you know, of what this means down the line. Mm. I don't think there's anybody who can come out with a model and talk confidently that this is what lies ahead. No one understands the job market. Everything seems to be guessing. You know, I think even the Fed, I doubt whether they've got any models that you know, point in the right direction. And you can hear it when Powell talks. You know, there's no clear confidence in what he's saying. You know, yes, data dependent. So I'm saying at the end, we wait for results to come through. We look at the company and we rely on what management say about what lies ahead. You know, that's our best guideline. There's a lot of debate about the future of AI, you know, that whether money spent now will ever get a decent return. I think that's with any industry. So there's a lot of uncertainty you have to kind of negotiate if you're managing other people's money. And you just do it the best you can.
Mm. Yeah, you're doing that. So, yeah, just carry on. Carry on until otherwise advised, Shapiro. Yeah. That's my advice. Yeah. That's my advice to you, for what it's worth. And just speaking of AI, I have to tell you my AI journey. You know, I was a bit anti it, but now I'm not hooked on it, but it is a useful tool. It's now talking to me. It's now having a conversation with me, because I'll put something in and it'll say, oh, I see what you're doing, Lindsay. You were looking back at this a week ago and now you're applying it to this. Because I put in Rip Van Winkle, which is a story of – it's an American –
I know Rip Van Winkle, yeah.
It's an American story of this character who fell asleep for 20 years. And they thought I was trying to apply it to Trump or somebody. Wasn't it? Who wrote the book?
I have no
famous
idea.
Famous American author.
Are you putting me in difficult territory, y'all?
Not Irving
Washington.
I know
the story, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it wasn't Mark Twain.
No.
It wasn't him, the Mark Twain.
I can ask AI quickly.
Yeah, who was the author of Rip Van Winkle? Otherwise, it'll drive me mad for the rest of this interview. It's the last thing. While you're doing that, David, I'll read a couple of prices here, because the gold price is about to break down through 4,000. It's 4,001.88 at the moment, and it's going to change its big figure. And that's a massive move. That's a 10% fall from the high. There it goes. It's just broken through 4,000, which is a big move. 2 2/3% today. I won't dwell on that. The oil price
it's important. I think, you know, why it's important. Washington Irving.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Rip Van Winkle. Yeah. Why it's important is that my fear was that if gold fell, you know, it would fall in conjunction with other markets, or it would drag down other markets, because there isn't a liquidity association, you know, punters going into gold and Bitcoin and into the market, you know, that speculative urge. So I must admit, I was a little cautious or fearful that if gold started to sell off, that it would spread through to the other markets. But I think the fact that the U.S. market is picking up, that Trump is doing these deals, is actually attracting money away from gold, you know, call it the safe haven if you want to, into equity market.
There is another theory as well, David, and people say, well, gold's going first because gold is a very illiquid market compared to, say, the bond market or to AI stocks or any stock in the S&P 500 or any ETF. So they're saying what happens is that people position themselves in gold first because they know if there's some sort of movement elsewhere, it'll be difficult to get out of gold relative to the other asset classes. That's just a theory. I don't believe it in this case. I don't think it's valid in this case.
None of us know. Mm. You know, the markets are so complex today that it's almost impossible to understand the flows and some of the movements, you know, that we're seeing. But I must be honest. I I was a bit concerned that if gold went, that it might follow through to other markets. For the meantime, that's not happening.
It's not, not for now anyway. 2.6% weaker. Copper price, watch that one. That's not going anywhere but up at the moment. Up another 1% at $5.14 per pound. US 10-year treasury yield didn't like being below 4%. It's 4.03%. S&P 500, another record high. 68.87, the December futures, up nearly 1%. Quite extraordinary. South African 10-year bond, 8.90%, still nice and steady. David, the JSC, please tell me about Pick and Pay, because Pick and Pay, another 7.25% down, I think.
You know, their results came out today, and it was a half-year result. The problem is that their exposure to Boxer actually masks what's happening underneath.
Yes.
So when you take out Boxer, you still have a company that is under a lot of pressure. I don't think, you know, Sean Summers is quite open about where they are and the amount of work that they have to do. But I mean, it does a lot of weakness there. There's a slight improvement in terms, you know, they sold off Boxer, so they got more cash, and that's helping their margins. You know, with more cash, it reduces their interest payments. Also, there was a little more volume sales. But I mean, it still remains a very weak, unprofitable business, as things are. And I say unprofitable because, you know, on a trading basis, the Pick and Pay side of them is still in loss. It's, you know, it's still negative. So a lot of work to be done. And I think the markets are just getting wise to it. If you look at Pick and Pay's market cap and you take out Boxer, you actually, there's a negative 1 billion value on the Pick and Pay business, you know, outside of Boxer.
Yes. So this is still not one that you've been actually very, not vocal, but you've been really firm on your stance towards Pick and Pay. And it's essentially it's a dog. To you, it's a dog. And you don't say that, I say that.
No, I know Sean Summers would say the same thing. You know, he wouldn't put it in that mental because he's trying to turn it around. But it's going to take a long time to correct, you know, the issues that dragged it down over years. You can't just do it straight away. And you've also got a very strong ShopRite, Checkers, Woolworths, you know, even Spar coming back. So it's not like Walmart are also getting into the action again.
That's what I was going to say to you. I saw something over the weekend, and it was to do with a very, very influential global investor. And he said South Africa is going to go, in his opinion, from zero to hero. It says it takes a long time for capital to come back into a country that has been, you know, under the cosh, so to speak. But South Africa has now got a relatively stable government. Eskom, he said. Eskom, it was hugely important to him when he looked at South Africa, which he's apparently investing in. And you see the bond market, I can see why. Could be true. And then in the same article, I sort of skipped over it, David, because I was watching a football match, as usual. And it says something about Walmart coming in. Is it going to be Walmart-branded stores? That's what I understand.
Yes. Well, remember, they were part of Macro.
Yes.
They bought Macro. And so all they're doing now is rebranding and using the Walmart brand and perhaps getting closer to the market. You know, this hasn't been a superb investment on their part.
No.
Lindsay, there's still a lot to do here. You know, I think people, it's easy to say we're coming off a low base, the government's more stable. One doesn't get that sense. I don't think there's a will to turn things around here. And that's the big worry. In order to turn the economy around, you have to lay a proper foundation. And there's still too much politics involved to do that. And there's no money. And the reason you've got no money is that you've got a massive unemployment rate. So whatever money we make, we've got to feed those unemployed people and clothe them and send them to hospital or have hospitals for them. So as long as you have that massive burden, and remember you've got high debt as well, there's very little to reinvest. The only way to reinvest and build up, you need private capital. So you've got to entice investment. But politically, they're not prepared to do that. You know, they want to do it according to their rules. You know, so I just sit on the sidelines and say, okay, you know, that's all very nice, but for the meantime, there's plenty of other places around the world to do so, you know, to invest. And I must draw your attention to Mr. Trump. As much as you dislike him, he's not coming to Africa. He's going to Malaysia. He's going to Indonesia. He's going to Japan. He's going to Korea. You know, he's going to China, India.
Well, you know, he's still got 3 years, so he might pop over. He's very popular in certain African countries. I think he's incredibly popular in Nigeria. No, he is in Nigeria, but in South Africa, no, he's persona non grata.
Yeah. So the point I'm making is South Africa has to make itself attractive if you want Mr. Trump to come here. You know, he's sending Vance, I mean, the G20. And it's actually almost comical to see how they're trying to give Joburg a paint of coat, you know, and saying, okay, listen.
A coat of paint, you mean?
These are the roads, you know. You can only drive on these roads. Don't go anywhere else. So I'm saying they should take the G20 up Louis Botha Avenue, or Louis Botha Avenue, to pronounce it correctly. And, you know, from Alexandra through to Hillbrow. That will be an education for the G20 or
G10. Is that still yeah. bad? I mean, I used to drive down Louis Botha quite a bit. But then towards the end, I started to get a little bit nervous about hijackings and things like that, but also the potholes and the traffic and stuff. Is it still quite bad?
Worst. You've got to dodge the taxis, you know, who make up their own rules for driving cars that are not roadworthy, whatever it is, you know. So it's like going to a carnival and going through, you know, you have to negotiate your way through to the other end to get the prize.
So you're saying that if I wanted to go to the Radium Beer Hall for a beer and a plate of prawns, I couldn't park down that side road, find a parking space, find a chap to give some money to, you know, watch my car. You can't do that anymore.
Live with the memory.
Really? And there was a pizza place just down the road as well called Air Buco.
Yeah. It used to have a lot of character. I mean, Radium Beer was an iconic place.
It's still there, isn't it?
I'm not sure you'd risk it today.
Oh, dear. David, so Pick and Pay off the list. And it just shows you how influential the miners are at the moment, because we've got Goldfields down 8%, DRD Gold and Harmony are both getting walloped, Anglo Gold as well, and that's just the top few. There must be more beneath. And that is and the indices are down quite heavily, the All Share, that is, despite the fact that we've got Naspers and Prosus are both up over 3%. So the miners really giving the JSE a bit of a pounding today.
Yeah, well, if you look at Goldfields, are down 10%. Durban Deep, you know, almost 8.5%. Harmony, so 7.8%. So this is a big sell-off. This is a very, very strong sell-off, which is offsetting. So Lindsay, from a mining point of view, you know, the resource index is down almost 6%. 6% is a big move.
That's huge.
And that's taken down by the gold and platinum miners. This is a large sell-off, and it builds on itself because it's a geared market. You know, there's a lot of borrowing against this. And, you know, once you're squeezed, once there's a margin squeeze, boy, you get out as fast as you can, you know, margin call. So I think it's not a day that everybody, you know, it's a day that people anticipated, but just hope that they didn't see it.
$39.92 now, the gold price.
That's a big move.
Nearly 3% weaker, 4% down for silver, but copper still holding up there. Okay, David, so it's a bad day on the JSE because of the miners, because of the influence of the commodity stocks, but a good day everywhere else. And you've got to say it, Mr. Trump seems to be well-liked in Malaysia, and I think he'll get on with the new Japanese prime minister.
Yes,
because
she's a nationalist.
She's far right and a nationalist as well, as you say.
Okay. So she's going to spend on defense. So she's, you know, she says the right things. And that's, you know, he likes that. So he seemed to have got on very well in their conversation. But this is Trump. You know, he loves it. He loves the adoration that people give him. And I think simply because he's American, nobody wants to upset him. You know, no nation wants to upset him. Because as Mr. Carney saw with that advert, that Ronald Reagan advert, you know, just, oh, well, another 10%. You know, it's like your mother used to do that. You know, Lindsay, go to your room for 5 minutes. He's like, yeah, Ma. I said, okay, we're going to make that 10 minutes, you know, and you argue back, and then it's 20 minutes. That's Trump, you know, that's at his best.
That's a slightly outlandish example you used there, David. I was an angel as a child, but anyway. Oh, yeah.
Like a mother, you know how mothers say.
Yes, I do. What about South America while we're on it and before we talk about football? South America is interesting. The Argentinian election went Trump's way, hid back to what's his name, the funny one with the sideburns.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, we could call him Engelbert Humperdinck, but he's more of a rock star than a crooner. So I don't think we should call him Engel. Engelbert. But the Argentinian bond market has soared today. I would have to say that even with Trump's backing, I'd be a seller of those bonds because they've never paid. They've never paid back bondholders in modern history, post-war history. Argentina is guaranteed to default on its bonds.
You've got to be very brave to deal in Argentinian bonds. And I think that's been the record over, I don't know, 20, 25, ever since Eva Perón, you know. So it's odd. It's such a beautiful country.
Yes.
That's an incredible country, you know. And you know, when you watch the rugby teams, when you watch the football teams, when you watch the Messis and everything, it's just so odd that this is a very sophisticated city, sophisticated people, and yet, financially, it's just a mess, you know, and it has been. And I'm surprised that they still actually survive, you know what I mean? So, but it's not an area that I would, it's not the kind of market that I would dare, you know, go into. You've got to be very, in fact, I'm very nervous of any emerging market. I might not include India as an emerging market or China, you know, you know what I mean? Those are big, big dynamic economies. But you know, for South America or even for South Africa, for Africa, I'm very careful.
Okay, David, thanks for all that. Lots to digest, and the market's just carrying on. And we discussed that at the beginning. Don't worry why it's going up. It's going up, and be happy with that. David, Arsenal, 4 points clear at the top. People saying that it's their title to lose now, but we know history dictates that they will lose it. They've lost it before. Do you remember that time when they were clear at Christmas?
Yes.
And they blew it completely. Do you think it'll happen again?
I take each game as it comes. And as long as they can prevent the injury, they are deeply reliant on the back four, and especially the two centre backs. Although they have got a reserve, I worry about them. They can't play every game. It's just unfair. But at the end also, you know, if you look at the kind of goals they're scoring, actually yesterday was a super goal. It really was a well-worked goal. And but
I like Eze, don't you like him? I think he's a fantastic lovely man. Player. And also, when he's interviewed, he's always got a smile on his face.
Yeah, he's
and
a nice
and he speaks
man.
Well. He seems a very, very nice chap.
And you know, it just depends. It's a long season still to go. The beauty about this season is that you can find Sunderland beating Chelsea. Yeah. I mean, and beating them. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like a lucky goal that bounced off someone's head. And I, you know, Aston Villa beating Man City. So I think anybody can win. You dare not go into a game, you know, full of confidence. You've got, and that's the problem, is that you've got to play every game seriously, which can, you know, cause injuries. I suppose it's every squad themselves, but still. For a team fragile like Arsenal, I mean, where they're doing well, who knows?
What has happened?
Spurs are looking okay.
What has happened to Liverpool, by the way? Because I noticed today in one of my football emails that I get, it said replacement for Arne Slot. I mean, they're already talking about him leaving at the end of the season if Liverpool don't retain their title. Such nonsense.
You know, the funny thing is, and I loved Diaz. I thought he was great. I loved, you know, I liked, what's his name? Alexander Arnold. I thought he was great, you know, and there were certain people there that made it. McAllister's nowhere to be seen. You remember they had, oh, the German, he retired. He came back. I'm missing his name, man.
What German that retired and came back? Which one?
Yeah, remember, he went to Real Madrid or something like that. Oh, God. With a G. Now I've gone blank now. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. And I think they're just missing those people. And poor old Salah's nowhere to be seen. He's just not being fed the same kind of long balls.
He scored
just
a
nowhere.
Nice goal. He scored a nice goal against Brentford.
Too late. Mm. Too late. Yeah, too late. 90th minute. Not Graven. I can't remember his name.
Doesn't matter. But anyway, their recruitment policy hasn't been good. You don't buy Etitsike, an out and out striker, and also Alexander Isak, an out and out striker.
He's nowhere. They're nowhere.
Don't know where they don't have to play with each other. One comes on, one comes off. It's ridiculous what's going on there. And also talking about Diaz. See how well he's doing at Bayern Munich. He's a great player, and he's a great loss to Liverpool.
I loved it. He was a lovely player. He was a good man. You know what I mean? I enjoyed him. He caused havoc. And what's happening is that you just have to play a long ball against Liverpool. You saw them floundering with those long balls into the, you know, into the area, and they were throw-ins. They weren't even corners. So, anyway. It doesn't, you know, I quite enjoy it, watching Liverpool flounder.
Me too. Okay, David. Always end on a negative note. I love that. No, but I agree with you. David, thank you very much for your time. We'll speak again next Tuesday. No Thursday this week.
Okay.
David Shapiro is
good
from...
Good luck, yeah.
Yes, thank you. David Shapiro is from Sassman Securities. Is that what Shapiro world?
The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.